This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Untouchable by Isabel Love. Narrated by Lydia Dornay and Greg Boudreau. Chapter 1. Was she even real? Monica. The crowded dance floor of Club Bailar is the perfect escape from real life. The heavy beat vibrates in my chest, and my body itches to move to the music. It feels so good to get lost in the crowd. Bodies are everywhere, some dancing, some just standing around watching others. Tonight, I am not Dr. Morgan, Director of Emergency Services. Tonight, I just want to be Monica, a 32-year-old single woman in need of a drink, dancing, and no stress. When was the last time I went out like this? I can't even remember. Things are so hectic at work, and even though I promised myself I wouldn't let my job take over my life, it seems that it has. Not only that, but I cringe at the thought of a coworker seeing me at a club. I try to stay away from this side of my life, the part that doesn't mesh well with being a respected physician. I bury it deep inside of me. But when life gets too stressful, dancing is one of the only ways to ease the pressure and make me feel like myself again. Forget about work. The music calls to me, and I close my eyes as I dance and let my body move without thinking, hips rolling, arms thrown up over my head. The dark lighting sets me free, and the music reaches into me to pull out all my stress. My muscles burn as my body works, one song turning into another, and soon I'm sweating. I lift my long brown hair up to cool off my neck and keep it gathered in my hands as I continue to sway. I love the physical release that comes from dancing. Soon a man comes up behind me and starts to move with me. My eyes are still closed, so I don't know what he looks like, but it is most definitely a him. A large, broad chest pillows my head, and big hands settle on my hips. Sometimes I find dancing with a partner to be too restrictive, especially if their moves don't match my own, but he matches me step for step, our bodies in sync. A thrill shoots through me as I feel every inch of him press up against me. He's tall, but he moves easily, and his grip on my hips starts to control my movements, making my body do what he wants it to. I lean my head back on his shoulder, settling into the rhythm and breathing him in, wanting to drown in this moment. He smells of sandalwood with a hint of citrus and feels amazing behind me. I lower my hands to the stranger's arms, which touch me possessively. His forearms are toned and dusted with hair. His hands are big and strong. I feel my way down to the thighs that bracket mine, and his muscles ripple as we continue to move. He inches forward to get even closer, bending lower to line his pelvis up against mine, and I can feel his hard erection against me. Oh my. My body heats in arousal. How long has it been since I had sex? I can't even remember. Last year? It hasn't been that long, has it? Regardless, my neglected body wakes up with this man's touch. My stranger leans forward, and his cheek touches my face, stubble scraping against my skin and causing me to shiver. "You're stunning," he says right into my ear. The deep timbre of his voice rumbles from his chest into mine. Here's the thing. I am not stunning. Most days, I'm a plain Jane, my attire consisting of scrubs and tennis shoes, my hair in a messy bun or ponytail, my makeup nothing more than chapstick and a bit of mascara. Tonight, though, I wear a sleeveless black dress that hugs my curves and cuts off about mid-thigh. My curly brown locks flow down my back, and I took the time to apply some makeup. It's amazing how putting myself together on the outside changes how I feel on the inside. Right now, in this stranger's arms, moving to the music with his hands on me, I feel desired. Sexy, even. Thank you, I say. I'm not sure he can hear me over the loud music, but he nods in acknowledgement. His nose skims down my cheek to my neck, and he lays a gentle kiss there. Goosebumps erupt on my skin at the feel of his lips when he inhales deeply, breathing me in as his hands move slowly up my waist to rest just under my breasts. Oh, God. My breaths speed up, and my breasts start to get heavy. This man is making me feel things I haven't felt in a long time, and I haven't even seen what he looks like yet. Without warning, he turns me around. I hesitate before looking up at him, not wanting to ruin the chemistry we have by seeing his face. What if he's ugly? But after a moment, curiosity gets the best of me. Slowly, I open my eyes and get my first good look at him. He's tall. Of course, I'm 5'2", so everyone is taller than me, but still, he's really tall. 6 foot something? Tall, dark, and fucking hot. I crane my neck up to meet his stunning blue eyes, and my mouth falls open. Wow. Dark hair, chiseled cheekbones, and a square jaw make up a model-perfect face. He is utter masculine perfection. His intense blue eyes rake over me from head to toe, and I feel his look like a touch. We take each other in as best we can in this lighting, and the air becomes heavy, charged with attraction. Each piece of him, his muscular chest, sinewy arms, tapered waist, and strong thighs, completes my checklist for the perfect man. The icing on the cake? Black tribal tattoos peek at me from beneath his short sleeves, making him look that much more masculine. I don't think I've ever seen a better-looking man. In no realm of reality would someone who looks like him be attracted to me. Except, I see the desire in his eyes as he eats me up with his gaze, and I like it. I was afraid seeing him would lessen the pull I felt when we were just dancing, but I was wrong. I can't decide what part of him I like the best. His eyes are by far the most striking feature, so blue I can see the color even in the darkness of the club. Dark stubble decorates his square jawline, and my fingers itch to feel it. Would it be soft? His lips smile down at me, not cocky, but sensual, confident. I like what I see. I smile up at him too, trying to pull myself together and not gawk like an idiot. He moves into my space, and my heart kicks into overdrive at his proximity. When I just stand there, he takes my hands and places them on his shoulders. Then he wraps his arms around my middle and pulls me close, bending his knees so we are lined up chest to chest. One of his thighs goes in between my legs, and he starts to dance again. Fuck. I really like the way his body moves. Maybe a little too much. It feels so intimate, his thigh beneath me, pushing my dress up as our legs slot together. My nipples tingle when my breasts brush against his body, and my hands move up and down his shoulders, feeling his lean muscles. I'm on sensory overload. Closing my eyes, I take a deep breath, willing my body to relax, and just enjoy the attention of such a sexy man.
"What's your name?" he asks me.
"Can we just dance?" I deflect. I'm not looking to start anything. An anonymous dance is all I want tonight. I'm never going to see this guy again, so exchanging names and getting to know each other is pointless. He nods, not put off by my refusal to tell him my name. His blue eyes stare into mine, and I am hypnotized. His intense gaze sets my body on fire, and his lips, God, they're full. As he bites his lower lip, I get the urge to bite it too. I watch those lips curve into a knowing, sexy grin. Then my gaze moves from his mouth to his eyes, and I feel myself flush. Electricity sparks hot between us, and my body feels like a live wire. His big hands splay across my back, and he leans down to talk directly into my ear. "Can I kiss you?" I nod and lean up to meet his mouth with mine. Soft. His lips are so soft. His fingers thread into my hair, and he pulls me even closer. My eyes flutter shut, and I'm lost, my world reduced to the feel of his lips pressing into mine, gently at first, then hungrily. His tongue licks against my lips, and I open my mouth, our tongues tangling. My fingers find their way up his neck, and I allow myself to touch his face. His stubble is soft. God, everything about this guy feels good. We kiss and kiss, and I feel boneless, breathless. I'm clutching at him, and he's gripping me tightly. It's like his mouth is a magnet pulling me to him. He makes me forget that we're in a crowded club, that I'm a respectable physician in charge of a department, that I don't need a man to be happy, that I usually feel as if I'm juggling a million pieces in the air every day, and if I don't stay on top of everything, all the pieces will come tumbling down. I forget everything. His kiss melts it all away. Instead, I feel alive, surrounded by this strong man in his arms, practically fused to his mouth. I feel safe, electric, and desired. Judging by the size of the erection rubbing my stomach from behind his jeans, he is as turned on as I am. We grind into each other, and his heart beats so fast I can feel it thump against my chest. Soon enough, our bodies start to move in a way that mimics sex. His hands skim down my body, from my hips to my bare legs. His touch is hot, waking up each of the nerve endings in its path. He squeezes my thighs, then starts trailing his fingers up again, feeling my bare skin. Up and up, his fingers reach the hem of my dress, and he inches it higher, exposing more skin. Both of his hands end up just under my ass, touching the elastic of my underwear. Oh, God, I'm so wet. Just 1 inch farther and he'll be able to feel what he's doing to me. I feel his groan rather than hear it. The vibration in his throat, a pained sound. He rests his forehead against mine and closes his eyes, hands still touching me, toying with the edges of my panties. "Can I touch you?" he rasps into my ear. I should push him away. I should be appalled that a total stranger wants to feel me up in the middle of a crowded dance floor. I should disentangle myself from him right now and leave. But I don't want to. I like his hands on me. My body is so aroused by the sight and feel of him that I'm close to orgasm already. The friction from dancing on his leg with his thigh against my center has my clit throbbing. The dance floor is dark and full of other couples probably doing the exact same thing. No one is paying us any attention. I give in and nod, needing him to touch me. He clenches his jaw at my response as if trying to stay in control, and it looks so damn sexy. Being on the receiving end of his desire is heady, powerful. He wants me. Me. His hands grip the backs of my upper thighs, pulling my cheeks apart. I gasp, not expecting that. He swallows my sounds with a kiss, and his fingers slip underneath my underwear. Oh, God, he's touching me. Fingertips explore me gently, rubbing up and down, spreading my arousal to my clit. I arch my back, leaning into his touch. My legs go weak, and I'm not coordinated enough to keep dancing. The music drowns out my moan, but I know he can feel it. One hand grasps my ass firmly and directs my movements as the other continues to rub up and down my pussy while I ride his thigh. My orgasm is approaching, fast and furious. Somehow the fact that I'm in public makes this even hotter. I can't believe I'm doing this. The telltale flutters begin, and I know I'm about to come. He must feel it because he pulls back from kissing me to look at my face, watching me. Desire and hunger pull his cheeks taut, and he looks deep into my eyes, nodding for me to let go. And I do. I shatter and tremble with the force of my orgasm. He kisses me deeply as he pulls my dress back down and wraps his arms around me, hugging me close, supporting my weight as I get my bearings.
That was amazing,
he tells me. Suddenly, someone on the dance floor bumps into us and reality comes crashing in. I teeter off balance and start to fall sideways. He steadies me before I trip over his legs and fall to the floor.
You okay?
Yes. Separated from the warmth of his body, I feel suddenly cold. Our little bubble of lust has burst, leaving me a bit disoriented. I wrap my arms around myself and look around awkwardly. What the fuck am I doing? I just let a complete stranger finger me in the middle of the dance floor. I just had an orgasm. In a club.
Real classy, Monica. You want to get a drink with me?
He asks. I need to get out of here. This isn't me. I don't hook up with strangers. I don't have one-night stands. I don't go to clubs. And I have to wake up early tomorrow morning for work. I smooth my hair and try to slow my breathing. He is still watching me with a look so hot I can practically feel it. I have to go, I mumble, turning to walk off the dance floor. My legs are like jelly, wobbling as I try to lose him in the crowd.
Wait!
I hear him shout as he maneuvers through the throng to try to catch up with me.
Max. I hold on to my mystery woman's hand, keeping her close as we exit the dance floor. My overheated body needs to cool down. Watching her fall apart in my arms while we danced was the hottest thing I've ever seen. If only that douchebag hadn't bumped into us. It totally interrupted our moment, and now she's about to slip right through my fingers. What's more, it looks like I'm not even going to get her name. Are you sure you don't want some water before you go? I ask her. I know I could use a drink to cool down, and it would give me a minute to talk to her. She smiles up at me, but it's brittle.
No, thank you.
Okay. Do you need to find your friends? I didn't see anyone with her, but don't women usually travel in packs, especially to clubs late at night?
No, I'm parked right in front. You don't have to follow me out. I'm good on my own from here.
Damn it. She can't go yet. I need one more kiss. I tug on her arm and turn her toward me. Before she can say anything else, I lean down to kiss her. God, she tastes good. She leans into me and I pull her close, tucking her little body into mine. She starts to kiss me back, and I think she's changed her mind about leaving. Her hands settle on my shoulders. Her touch feels so good. But then she pulls away. I look down into her hazel eyes, wanting to memorize what she looks like. It's dark, so I can't see every detail, but her eyes are bright and her cheeks are flushed from her orgasm. Her lips look swollen, and I want to kiss them some more. She looks like my every fantasy come to life. Won't you at least tell me your name? I ask her. She feels her lips as if to check that they're still there. Her expression morphs to embarrassment.
I don't usually do this kind of thing. This isn't me.
Then she slips in front of a group of people leaving the club. She's so short I can't keep track of her. And that's that. I had a stunning, sexy goddess in my arms, and now she's gone. Was she even real? Maybe I was daydreaming. I bring my fingers to my nose and inhale. Her musky scent is there, and my cock throbs at the memory of her face when she came. Fuck, she was real, and now I'm standing here alone with a tent in my pants. Awesome. I head to the bathroom, wash my hands, splash some cold water on my face, and try to calm my revved up body. Well, that was something. I scan the club for my friends. Charlie is on the dance floor, tangled up with a tall blonde who is currently trying to climb on top of him. He looks like he's having a good time, though. Logan is by the bar, alone, so I head that way. "Hey, you ready to go yet?" I ask him. "What happened to your hottie?" he asks. "She disappeared on me." I sigh, trying to hide my disappointment. "What? Wait, I need to write this down. This may be the first time in history a girl pulled a disappearing act on you." He laughs, the bastard. "Looked like she was into you. Did she run for the hills when you told her you're a male nurse?" I'm not quite sure what he was able to see, but I don't offer up the details of exactly what happened on the dance floor. "We are out tonight to celebrate my new job. Yes, I am a nurse, and even though my friends like to give me shit about it, they're proud of me. I'm the first person in my family to go to college, and I worked my ass off to get through school. Monday, I start my new job." "Fucker. No, she didn't run away because of that." I punch his arm. "And it's not male nurse. I don't call you a male computer programmer." He chuckles and rubs his arm. "What about you? Where's Tate tonight? She couldn't meet us here?" Tate is Logan's longtime girlfriend. "No, she wasn't up to a loud club tonight. I'll see her tomorrow, though." "Bummer." Tate's a lot of fun, and Logan's generally in a better mood when she's around. "Want to find another hottie to celebrate with? Check that girl at 2 o'clock with the red shirt. She's been staring at you." I look over to see who he's talking about. Yep, there is a chick with her boobs spilling out of a low-cut top, making eyes at us, but she's just trying way too hard. Too much makeup, too little clothes, just too much. Not like the goddess I just had in my hands. She was understated, but hot as hell. Suddenly, I'm not in the mood to be here anymore. "Nah, I'm going to head out. Thanks for coming out tonight. Say bye to Charlie for me. I'm afraid to interrupt him in his current situation out there." "I'm headed out too, then. Let's just walk by Charlie and tell him we're leaving." We make our way through the bodies on the dance floor to get to him. Wow. The blonde is really trying to suck his face off. He catches my eye as we approach and tries to extricate himself from Miss Octopus' hands. "Don't tell me you guys are leaving. What the fuck? It's early." Early being 1 a.m. "Max's hottie ran away because he's a male nurse," Logan tells him. "He's depressed and needs to go home to jack off. Fucker." I laugh as I punch Logan's arm in the same spot as earlier, but harder this time. He just laughs and rubs his arm. I roll my eyes at Charlie and slap his shoulder goodbye. "Later, man. Have fun tonight with that one." I nod to the blonde plastered to his back. He pulls me in for a hug. "Congrats, man. I'm proud of you. And if you're not going to get lucky tonight, I will on your behalf." "How noble of you," I laugh. "Later." Charlie and Logan nod their goodbyes and we leave the club. My ears ring when we step out into the quiet night, and I can't help but scan all the bodies for my sexy goddess. Of course she's gone by now. "You want to ride home?" Logan asks. "Yeah, thanks." I don't have a car yet, but I will soon. My job starts next week, and getting a car is at the top of my list. The drive home is quiet as Logan and I sit in comfortable silence. We've known each other since grade school, and I like the fact that we don't need to fill every moment with conversation. "I'll be over tomorrow at noon to help you move," Logan says as we pull into my apartment building. "Awesome. Thanks for the ride. See you tomorrow." I exit his car and make my way up to my building. This side of town is rough, and I can't wait to get the hell out of here, but it was all I could afford at the time. Now that I'll be working full-time, I can afford a better place, closer to the hospital where I will be working. I climb up the steps to my third-floor apartment. Once inside, I sigh at the sight of all the boxes. I don't have much, but I'm excited to get out of this shithole. I jump in the shower to wash off the night, and the hot water feels good on my back. My mind wanders back to that girl, my goddess. I watched her for a while before I approached her. She looked understated but stunning all the same. She was short and curvy, and her black dress didn't show much skin, but it hugged her in all the right places. The sight of her getting lost in the music, eyes closed, arms up, body moving in time to the beat, was mesmerizing. Her long, dark hair was glossy and wild, tumbling down her back. With a small, sexy smile on her face, she looked like she didn't care who was there. She was enjoying herself, comfortable in her own skin. God, I couldn't tear my eyes away from her. The way she felt in my arms, melting into my body, fuck. My cock hardens at the memory, and I wrap my hand around my shaft, letting myself remember the feel of her pussy, so wet with desire. I didn't plan for things to escalate the way they did, but she was so fucking sexy, riding my thigh, and I could tell she was close. Her whimpers and moans made me forget where we were. I let my mind wander to all the things I would have liked to do to her if we weren't in public. I imagine tugging the neckline of that dress down, baring her nipples to me so I can lick and bite them. I imagine tugging up the bottom of her dress, hitching her leg up around my waist and finding her pussy, bare and wet for me. I imagine sliding my cock inside her and fucking her. What would her expression look like as I drove into her? Fuck. I tug on my dick as the fantasy plays out in my head until I come against the shower wall. I stand there, chest heaving, heart racing, throbbing erection in hand. Wow. The water has turned cold, so I rinse quickly, towel off, and stumble into bed. Tomorrow starts my new life, with a new apartment and a new job. As I fall asleep, I hope to see my sexy goddess in my dreams.
Chapter 2. I want to touch her again. Monica. The next couple days go by in a blur. Technically, I'm supposed to work 10 hours 5 days a week, but in reality, 10 hours a day becomes 14, and I could always use one of my days off to catch up. Work keeps me busy. When I'm not in the ER taking care of patients, I'm meeting with the board of directors about trying to start a new project, but the head of the board hates me, so he keeps squashing my ideas due to insufficient funding. Insufficient funding, my ass. He just hates my ideas. Whatever. I didn't make it this far by giving up. I'm just going to have to find another way to make it happen. Blowing my hair out of my face, I make my way down to the ER and pull my hair back into a messy bun. As I walk down the hall to the nurse's station, I see Julie and Kevin laughing together over a patient's chart. As soon as they hear me approach, they straighten up and stop joking around. Hi, Dr. Morgan. Julie greets. Hi, guys. Only two of you on tonight? Where's Sarah? We need more nurses on staff. She quit, Kevin informs me. But good news. We have a new guy starting on Monday. Great. We need the help. I move forward to get the patient's chart. Tell me about the patient in room two. They both try to hold in laughter, but a snort slips out. Oh dear, this is going to be interesting. We have a 22-year-old female presenting with... Julie stops to take a deep breath to maintain her composure. She looks to Kevin for help. Kevin is able to pull off a straight face. Dr. Morgan, she tried to wax the hair off of her anus using a home waxing kit. Ah, I see. I figured it was going to be something like this. Let me guess. She didn't end up removing any hair. No. She ended up gluing her butt cheeks together instead. Sigh. I love my job. I love my job. I take a deep breath, school my facial expression, and turn to go evaluate this sticky situation. After working for 12 hours straight, I head to my office to catch up on paperwork. Knock, knock. My door begins to open. Hey there, Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel works in pulmonary medicine and consults with the ER all the time. He is a 50-year-old Indian man with a thick accent, a very large bulbous nose, and terrible body odor. Frankly, he reeks all the time. He is also a brilliant doctor and really helped me when I first started my residency in this hospital. He asks me out to dinner just about every other week. I've declined every time, as I have zero romantic interest in this man, but I do respect him and don't want to hurt his feelings.
How many times do I have to tell you to call me Anoush?
He smiles widely. I just can't call him Anoush. It sounds too much like anus. Anoush, I repeat silently. Not anus. Don't call him anus. What can I do for you, anus? Shit. Anoush. I correct quickly. I knew that would happen. That's why I call him Dr. Patel. He ignores my slip.
You are working too hard, Monica. Why don't I take you out to dinner tonight?
I knew this was coming, as it has been almost 2 weeks since his last invitation. Oh, that's very kind, but I brought my dinner with me. I hold up my frozen meal and smile.
That is not a good dinner for you. Come, let me take you out for a proper meal, he insists.
He smiles brightly, and his nose stretches even wider. Thanks so much for the offer, Dr. Patel, but I have a lot of work to catch up on. That much is true. He scans my desk, which is covered with piles of papers and charts, and nods in understanding.
Don't let this place suck all the life out of you, Monica. You are young and vibrant. Don't forget to take care of yourself while you're taking care of everyone else.
He smiles kindly and backs out of the office.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Dr. Patel. Have a good evening. I sigh. Young and vibrant. The only time in the last 2 years I felt remotely vibrant was at that club, dancing with Mr. Blue Eyes. My mind wanders back to that night. God, he was sexy. His smile, his lips, his body, the way he felt moving against me, the way he touched me, the way I fell apart in his arms. The thing is, when I was a teenager, I was a total party animal. My dad, Dr. Peter Morgan, was super strict, and I spent my teenage years pushing every boundary he set in front of me. I snuck out, drank underage, smoked pot, and had sex way too young. My dad was ready to disown me, but my mom would never let that happen. Carmela Morgan was a dancer. She was gorgeous, carefree, and happy. She was my best friend, biggest cheerleader, and the mediator between me and my dad. She always told me she knew I would go on to do great things. When she died, I was 19 years old. All the partying in the world couldn't take the pain away, and I couldn't let her down. So I cut out all the shenanigans and buckled down in college. I can't help but notice I went from one extreme to the other. Every now and then, the party animal I've worked so hard to suppress wants to come out and play. At the end of a long workday with nothing but charts to keep me company, I wish I had gone home with Mr. Blue Eyes and lived a little.
Max. The first week of work is all mind-numbing orientation. Human resources presentations, filling out form after form, learning the computer program, and blah, blah, blah. By the end of each day, I'm exhausted from learning all the new information, and my head hurts. I'm anxious to work on my floor and meet my coworkers. The second week brings me just that. I meet about 100 people and promptly forget everyone's name. Luckily, everyone seems very cool. I'm paired mostly with Kevin for the first 6 weeks to learn the ropes. Kevin has been working as a nurse in the ER for 10 years and has a million funny stories and tips on which doctors are ornery and which are down to earth. Dr. Rossetti is so cool. He always brings in donuts when we work night shift on Saturdays. He also likes to prank everyone, so be warned. All the new people get pranked sooner or later. I chuckle. I may have found my people here. Will he be pissed if I prank him back? Kevin laughs and pats my back. Only if your prank sucks. We walk through the floor to the staff locker room. He shows me where I can keep my things, and the next stop is the break room to get some coffee. Dr. Morgan is around a lot. She's the director of the department. Do not prank her. I repeat, do not prank her. She's an amazing doctor, but she's a bit uptight. Very professional all the time. Great source of information, though, so if you ever have any questions, she's always willing to help. Thanks for the intel. I hope I can keep it straight. It would be just my luck that I would prank Dr. Morgan instead of Dr. Rossetti. Well, Dr. Rossetti is an overweight 45-year-old man who looks like he eats a lot of donuts. He has a loud belly laugh, so you'll hear him coming a mile away. Dr. Morgan, on the other hand, is a tiny 5-foot-nothing woman in her 30s. She's small and serious all the time. I nod. Gotcha. That makes it easier to tell them apart. Kevin shows me where to swipe my badge to get into the break room. Just as I open the door, a body slams into me. Oof! I catch the door jamb with one arm to steady myself and wrap my other arm around the person to stop our momentum, but I'm too late. We go tumbling down to the ground, our legs tangled together. Sorry, I stammer, trying to right myself. I'm able to get my legs under me first, and I offer a hand to the fallen woman.
No, it's my fault. I should have been watching where I was going. Sorry I slammed into you.
As she takes my hand, she looks up, and gorgeous hazel eyes meet mine. Wait, could this be? I stare down at her. This woman has long brown hair pulled back into a high ponytail, a clean, makeup-free face, and she's dressed in blue scrubs with a white lab coat over top that practically swallows her whole. She looks different, but this is definitely my goddess from Club Bailar. Dr. Morgan, are you okay? Kevin asks her. This is Dr. Morgan? She's staring right back up at me, studying my face. Her gaze flicks from my eyes to my lips. The moment she realizes who I am, her eyes grow wide and the color drains from her face. Yep, she definitely recognizes me. I smile wide and scan her from head to toe. You okay? I didn't hurt you, did I? I can't believe she's here. Thoughts of that night at the club with her have been consuming my mind ever since. My eyes can't leave her lips. Look up, asshole, you can't kiss her here, and you can't touch her. She just gapes at me, and I realize she doesn't look too happy to see me. Shit. Dr. Morgan, this is Max Spencer. He's our new full-time nurse. Nice to officially meet you, Dr. Morgan. I'm still holding her hand. It's soft, and I don't want to let go. She looks over at Kevin, then back at me. I'm not sure she's actually breathing. She looks down, notices that her hand is still clasped in mine, drops it like it's hot, and steps back, bumping into the door jamb behind her. Whoa, careful. I reach out to steady her once again, but she holds up her hands.
I'm good. Thank you.
She looks at me, grimaces, and tries hard to give me a polite smile. She's legit freaking out. Officially? Kevin asks, looking from me to Dr. Morgan. She laughs, awkward and uncomfortable. Ah, I get it. She doesn't want Kevin to know where we met, or maybe that we met at all. She almost ran me over in the parking lot, I cover. I thought you looked familiar. Were you trying to drum up more business for the ER? I attempt to reassure her with my most charming smile. Relief floods her eyes.
Nice to meet you, Max. I'm glad I didn't run you over.
She starts to walk past us.
I'll see you guys later.
She darts down the hall, almost full out running. Well, that sucks. The sight of this woman makes my dick hard, and the sight of me makes her run away. I sigh heavily and meet Kevin's curious gaze. Way to make a good first impression on Dr. Morgan. His sarcasm is not lost on me. What he doesn't know is that wasn't my first impression on her. I know, I agree. That was not the reaction I was expecting. I stare after her retreating form. No worries, I'll win her over. Good luck with that, he says skeptically. We step into the break room where Kevin drones on about the refrigerator, but my mind is reeling from seeing her again. Luck. The universe is playing a joke on me right now. I actually find the woman who ran away after coming on my fingers, the one I have been jerking off to on a regular basis, but she is a physician in the department I now work in and the director of the department to boot. What does that make her, my boss? Ugh, no, my boss's boss. Translation? Untouchable. Fuck. I want to touch her again. Logan, where are you?
Me. I just pulled into the parking lot. Be there in 2 minutes. I pull my bike up to the bike rack and lock it up. Logan, Charlie, and I meet up for happy hour on Friday nights at O'Malley's, a local sports bar. It isn't fancy, but we know the owner and the food is great.
Hey there, Max. Your boyfriends are in the booth at the back.
Shirley, the regular waitress, points to the back of the room. Thanks, Shirley. I head back to our usual table and join the guys. What's up, boyfriends?
Max, we need you to settle something.
Charlie and Logan are always betting on something, and I'm known for my good memory. At your service.
In 8th grade, which teacher caught Charlie jacking off in the bathroom? Was it Mr. Senta or Mrs. Bernardo?
Logan asks me.
I looked at Charlie. I can't believe you don't remember this. How is it not ingrained in your brain?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was so mortifying my brain blocked it out.
Charlie shudders.
It was the young, good-looking one, Miss Allison, I report.
You were gone from class for too long, and she couldn't find Mr. Senta to check the boys' bathroom, so she had to go inside to make sure you were okay.
I knew it! Charlie slaps his hand down on the table. She totally had the hots for me.
You knew shit, and it was you that had the hots for her, Logan corrects him.
You owe me a beer.
How do I owe you a beer? You thought it was Mr. Senta or Mrs. Bernardo, Charlie says. I bet that you couldn't remember who it was, and you couldn't.
I laugh at their antics.
Fine, fine.
Charlie motions at the bartender to bring a pitcher of beer for the table.
So, Max, how's the new job?
Logan asks after we get more beer and Shirley takes our order.
It's going okay. You know how the first couple weeks are at a new job. Orientation kind of sucks with all the mind-numbing information they give, but I did start on my floor this week. You guys will never guess who works with me.
I still can't believe she works with me.
Miss Allison? Charlie guesses.
I work in the emergency room, Charlie. How would our 8th grade teacher work there? I roll my eyes.
He shrugs. We just talked about her. It was fresh in my mind. Besides, it is possible to change jobs.
Just spit it out, dude. Who works with you?
Logan grabs some peanuts from the pail in the middle of the table and crushes them with his fist to get to the good stuff inside.
You know the girl I danced with when we went out to celebrate my new job?
The one that ran away when you told her you were a male nurse?
Logan says, eyes twinkling with mischief.
I growl. Fucker, she did not run away from me because of that.
She did pull a disappearing act on you, though.
That much is true. So, the hottie from the club works with you?
Charlie clarifies.
Yes.
That's crazy. What a small world, Logan says.
Did you bang her yet?
Charlie asks, ever the gentleman.
Well, no, I admit.
Let me guess, she ran away from you again.
Logan is scarily on point.
I sigh. She has been dodging me ever since she discovered I work there.
Tough break.
Charlie sips his beer and shrugs.
Well, you win some, you lose some.
What does she do there? Is she a nurse too? Logan asks.
She's a doctor, actually.
They both gape at me.
Really?
Charlie asks.
She did not dance like a doctor.
She did not look like a doctor, Logan agrees.
Come on, guys, what does a doctor look or dance like?
I ask, although I wouldn't have guessed that profession either.
She's apparently super smart.
Smart enough to run away from your ass, Charlie snickers. Why do I even hang out with you guys? I wonder.
We know too much about your past. If you weren't around, we'd tell everyone all your secrets, Charlie states seriously as I throw a peanut at him.
Who would have thought you'd have the hots for a doctor you work with? Logan muses.
Be careful, though, he warns. Don't shit where you eat.
Such wise words, Charlie scoffs.
He can totally bang the doctor. It's not shitting where he eats.
Charlie is, of course, going to encourage banging whenever possible. He has banged his way through life. The only relationship he ever had was with his high school sweetheart. Ever since that ended, he's sworn off relationships and enjoys a variety of women. I don't know. It's all fun and games when things are going well, but she's already dodging him after a little bumping and grinding on the dance floor. Imagine how awkward things would be if you guys hooked up and then it didn't work out. Logan makes a good point, though he doesn't know the extent of what happened on the dance floor. I know why she's embarrassed, but I still wish she would talk to me.
I think they should play doctor, only she should be your patient and you should conduct a thorough physical exam.
Charlie wiggles his eyebrows suggestively and I throw another peanut at him as Logan laughs. Shirley brings out our burgers and fries and the conversation moves on to other things. We leave a couple hours later, bellies full of greasy food.
You need a ride? Logan asks me.
No, I'm good. It's a nice night for a bike ride.
See you later.
I wave to them and unlock my bike. As I pedal home, my mind wanders back to Dr. Morgan, as it so often does these days. I need to just leave her alone, as she obviously doesn't want anything to do with me. But that night, that orgasm, her body moving against my body, she was so damn sexy. And I'm having a hard time forgetting. I want her. And now I'm hard while riding a bicycle. Awesome.
Chapter 3. You look flushed. Monica. Damn it. I curse as I drop the suture kit. My current patient is a 6-year-old boy needing stitches and I'm freaking out. Not because I don't know how to do stitches. I can stitch in my sleep. I am freaking out because the nurse assisting me with this patient is Max. Max, who I've been avoiding for the last 2 weeks. Max, who is so good-looking it hurts. Max, who kissed me so thoroughly my lips are still tingling at the memory. Max, who is so sexy my panties get wet just from being around him. Who fingered me to orgasm while we were in the middle of a club, and who I can't be attracted to because he works with me. That Max. And, to top it all off, he's genuinely nice. He didn't spill the beans to Kevin about how we met, not to mention he hasn't approached me to ask why I haven't acknowledged him. Thank goodness for that, because I don't even know how to explain myself. You see, Max, I'm a total loner, and I don't have a social life because all I do is work. So I decided to drive 2 towns over to make sure I didn't run into anyone I know and go to a club by myself like some loser because respectable doctors don't go to clubs and shake their ass. I was so stressed out and horny, I let you touch me on the dance floor and came on your fingers. Then I refused to tell you my name because that's just how classy I am. What's more, now that I see you all the time, I just want to take you into the nearest closet and lick the tattoos that peek at me all the time. I want your hands on me again, and I want my hands on you. He's also good with the patients. Right now, he's in the room with the little boy and his mom, cracking jokes and keeping them calm, while I get the supplies for the stitches. Usually the nurse gets the supplies, but I volunteered because I needed a minute to get my shit together. I can do this. I'm a doctor, for crying out loud. I could be near him and not freak out. I can. Deep breath, Monica. You got this, I chant to myself. Squaring my shoulders, I grab my supplies. When I enter the room, I find Max and Robbie laughing. Wow, he has a really nice laugh. Bright blue eyes meet mine. You all set, Dr. Morgan? Yep. I'm so articulate, I can't stand it. I look down at the boy. Okay, Robbie, let's fix you up, buddy. Shouldn't take more than 6 stitches. Do you have any questions? Am I going to have a scar? He asks, chin starting to quiver. You may have a scar, I tell him, nodding. I never lie to my patients when I can help it. Don't worry, buddy. Scars are cool. Max soothes him as he puts gloves on and sets up all the supplies for me. I have one in my eyebrow, too. Can you see where it is? He points to his right eyebrow, and my eyes track his finger to find a faint, horizontal line cutting through his right eyebrow. Somehow, it makes him look all the more appealing, and I have the urge to touch it. He looks up and catches me staring, so I quickly avert my gaze and put my gloves on. How did you get your scar? Robbie asks him.
That's the other cool thing about scars. You get to make up fascinating stories about how you got them. Max nods to me, signaling for me to get started.
Really?
I got my scar? Fighting dragons. He tells the boy seriously.
No way. They banter back and forth, making up cool scar stories, while I numb the area and stitch up the cut. It just takes a few minutes and I manage to get it all done, while Max diverts his attention.
You're all set, Robbie. Thanks for coming in to see us. I hand him one of the stuffed animals we have for our pediatric patients.
That didn't hurt at all. Thanks, Dr. Morgan. He chirps and squeezes the crocodile.
You're welcome. Max will go over your follow-up instructions, okay? I shake the mom's hand and give her my card. Please call if you have any concerns.
I slip out of the room and try to distance myself from those intense blue eyes.
Kevin blocks my escape, though, coming out of nowhere and asking, "How did Max do?"
Really great. He's awesome with kids.
He is, isn't he? What about with the procedure? Did everything go okay there?
I nod. Yes, he knew exactly what to do for me. Looks like his training is going well.
It is. He's been the easiest person to orient.
Kevin agrees.
Who's easy?
Max asks, joining our conversation. I startle at the sound of his voice and nearly jump out of my skin, knocking over some charts in the process. Damn it. I bend over to pick them up at the same time Max does, and our heads collide with a loud smack.
Oof.
Max grunts and grabs his head.
Sorry.
I grab my head, too. Wow. That hurt.
You guys need to stop making a habit of mauling each other, Kevin says, chuckling.
I cough, then end up choking on nothing.
Could I be more awkward?
Ugh.
Max straightens and drops his hand.
You okay? He asks. He's looking me over and his quick assessment makes me feel hot.
I'm fine. What about you?
I ask him as I bend to pick up the charts from the floor. He squats down to help me, slowly this time.
I'm fine, he tells me. Once we gather everything up, I stand too fast and get dizzy.
Max reaches out to steady me.
Easy there. Maybe you should sit down, he says, looking concerned.
Why don't both of you sit down in room 5? Kevin points to the nearest exam room.
I'll go get 2 ice packs. Be right back.
Max leads me into room 5, and I sit on the side of the exam bed. He checks my forehead and looks into my eyes. Then he sits across from me in the chair, watching me intently. This is the first time we've been alone together since, well, since ever. When we met, we were surrounded by people. My pulse kicks up at our close proximity, his presence sucking all the oxygen out of the room.
You don't have to be nervous around me, you know.
He says quietly. You don't make me... I'm not nervous. I stutter.
I'm totally nervous. Come on. You're jumpy any time I'm around. My first day here, you practically ran away from me.
His gaze is steady on mine, daring me to deny it. I sigh. I kind of did, didn't I? He nods and continues.
You don't have to worry about me telling anyone how we met.
Thank you. I blow out a breath. He waits a beat, then adds,
and you don't have to worry about me trying to pick up where we left off. Your message has been received loud and clear.
My message? I squeak. What message am I sending him?
Yes, it's pretty obvious you're not interested in me, so let's just start fresh, okay? Can we try to be friends at work? The awkwardness is killing me.
I can't help but stare at his lips as he talks. The lips that were all over mine that first night. And he thinks I'm not interested in him.
You want to be friends? I ask him, doubtful.
He glances down at my lips, and they start to tingle.
Well,
I must admit I was hoping you would be happy to see me again. He looks back up to my eyes and smiles wistfully. I thought we had great chemistry. Understatement of the year? We did, I admit. I can't seem to muster more than a few words at a time. But you weren't happy to see me again. His smile fades. We're both adults, though. It's not like we had a relationship or anything. We should be able to move past how we met. How we met. He looks back down to my lips and swallows. I love the way his Adam's apple bobs, his neck so strong and sexy. He licks his lips, and it makes me lick my lips, too. Is it hot in here? I snap out of my trance. He's right, and I owe him an apology. I take a deep breath and meet his eyes. I'm sorry I've reacted poorly to discovering you work here, I say sincerely. He nods in acceptance. It's just, I've worked so hard to earn the respect of my coworkers, and I never go out like that, let alone do what we did. I wave between us, unable to say the words aloud. There is nothing wrong with you going out to a club, he insists, and doing what we did. He repeats my words, staring at my mouth again. You were amazing. I blush and look down.